contemplating the possibility of someone having in broad daylight forced himself through it.
Well, it seemed the at the time, I thought.
Such an idea was absurd. I dismissed it as soon as I saw the outside of these rooms. Mm. What I was interested in was how tall a man would need to be in order to see, as he passed, what papers were on the central table. I am 6 feet high, and I could only do it with an effort. No one smaller than I would have had a chance.
That is why you were so interested in the height of the three students.
That is why. How tall are you, Mr. Gilchrist?
6 foot three and a half.
And am I right in my conjecture?
You are.
Now, Soames, the cut in the leather top of your table.
Ah, yes. It is a new table. Fine leather.
I could make nothing of that cut until, in your description of Gilchrist, you mentioned that he was a long-distance jumper. Then the whole thing came to me in an instant, and I only required certain corroborative evidence, which I speedily obtained. What happened was this. Listen carefully, Mr. Gilchrist. You employed yesterday afternoon at the athletic grounds practicing the jump. You returned through the college quad carrying your jumping shoes, which are provided with several sharp spikes. Do you see my drift, Mr. Soames?
Not really, no.
By means of your great height, Gilchrist, you saw the proofs laid out upon the table and guessed what they were, correct?
Correct.
Well, no harm would have been done had it not been that as he passed your door, Soames, he saw the key which had been left there due to Bannister's carelessness. A sudden impulse came over him to enter and see if they were indeed the proofs.
That is true. It was the damnedest thing.
Well, when you saw that they were the proofs of the exam papers, you yielded to temptation. You put your shoes, your spiked shoes, on the table. What was it that you put on that chair near the window?
My gloves.
Ah, your gloves.
I took the proofs, one at a time, to the window to copy them. I thought that Mr. Soames would return by the main gate and I would be able to see him.
I came in by the side gate.
I was not to know that, sir.
No. No, of course not.
The first I knew of your return was when I heard you outside the door of this room.
There was no possible escape. You caught up your shoes and darted into the bedroom. You can see that the cut on the tabletop is slight on the one side, but deepens in the direction of the bedroom door. That in itself is enough to show us the direction in which the shoes were drawn, and that is where the intruder took refuge as companion to Mr. Soames' hanging clothes. Do you dispute this, Mr. Gilchrist?
In essence, all you say is true.
But good heavens, man! You confess to your misdeed, and you have nothing to add?
Yes, sir. I have. But the shock of this disgraceful exposure has bewildered me. I have a letter here which I wrote to you early this morning in the middle of a restless night. It was before I knew that my sin had found me out. Please read it aloud, sir.
Dear Mr. Soames, etc. I have determined not to go in for the Fortescue Prize. I have been offered a commission in the Rhodesian police, and I'm going out to South Africa at once. Well, I'm glad to know that you did not intend to profit by your unfair advantage.
May one ask, why did you change your purpose?
Bannister can tell you.
Yes, Bannister, you must speak frankly now. It is clear that only you could have let this young man out and, having done so, locked the door behind you and gone to your own quarters. There is no question now as to what happened. But I ask you to clear up the last point in this puzzle and tell us the reason for your action.
Oh, simple enough, sir. If only you'd known. But with all your cleverness, Mr. Holmes, it was impossible that you should know. Time was, gentlemen, when I was butler to old Sir Jabez Gilchrist, this young gentleman's father. Now, when Sir Jabez was ruined, I came to college as servant. When his son came here as a student, I watched him for all I could. For all I could. For the sake of the old days,
yesterday
I was
afternoon,
gone.
Bannister.
Well, when I came into this room after the alarm was given, the first thing that I saw was Mr. Gilchrist's gloves lying on that chair. I knew those gloves well, and I understood their message. If Mr. Soames saw them, the game was up. So I flopped down on that chair, and nothing would have shifted me until Mr. Soames had gone, and I could release me young master. or dandled him on my knee, sir?
You gave him his gloves and hurried him hence. You knew that it